Now? Okay. All right. Isaiah chapter number 40. We're looking at this, still going through this series on the Holy Spirit and how, what the Holy Spirit does in our life. And really His work in our life is a huge factor. The Lord, when we're saved, the Lord gives us His Spirit. We're filled or we're indwelt by Him. And the Spirit is one that when you study Him in the Scriptures, He's one that has a work. He has a ministry, which I mean, obviously the Lord does as well. But the Spirit really, when we read about Him in the Scriptures, He's always working on behalf of man, with man, convicting man, helping man. And so how does the Spirit then affect our lives, kind of what we're looking at? And living beyond your capacity is kind of the idea of the series. And last week we started in His strengthening ministry. So we're going to continue that today. You should have some notes. I think I gave everybody some, or you may have them from last week as well. We do have some extras in the back if you need them. But we'll just jump off with Isaiah 40, verse 28, is where we'll start this morning. It says this, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Lord, we pray this morning that You would help us through Your Word. And in this time of Sunday school, Lord, as we just try to study out a little bit about Your Spirit, like we just pray that You would bring bring wisdom. Lord, help us to understand the Word and Lord, what it means to us. I pray that You'd help us to, Lord, to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our life and, more importantly, to allow Him to accomplish His work in our hearts. And we'll thank You for it. Help us today as we look at His strengthening work. And I pray You be with the kids downstairs too, and the youth, and Lord, just all the classes that are going on. We just pray that You would bless, Lord, that we would all learn and grow together today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we looked at these verses really and talked about them a little bit last week. But just to remind you, because I don't assume that you remember everything we talked about last week. So let me just remind you, we're talking about being weary, being tired. And I don't feel like I have to go out of my way to describe to you what that's like. Because as I sort of view really all people in this day, we all know what it's like to be run down, to be tired, to be weary. And we're not just talking about a physical tired, although that I think that does factor in quite a lot, but also just a spiritual weariness, an exhaustion, a tiredness that, you know, we wonder at times, well, can we continue to live for the Lord? Can we continue to just do what's right and live for the Lord? Because the devil doesn't want us to do that. And there's an emotional, spiritual, even physical depletion that happens to us at times. But I want to remind you what the Bible says here in Isaiah 40, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't drag. And it says that where are we going to get our strength? Where are we going to be renewed? Well, it will have to be in Him. And I believe that's why the Bible says that He's the one who doesn't get tired. And then the very next verse, verse 29, He giveth power to the faint. And so if we're going to continue, we're going to have to learn to continue through His strength and allow Him to strengthen us. And that's really the point of the lesson today, because we need to learn to allow. And I'm going to say that a few times is that, see, the Spirit wants to do something in us, but we have to allow it. We can very easily ignore or reject the Spirit's work in our life. There's a lot of things that we can allow into our life that will shut off that flow of the Holy Spirit, that will silence His speaking in our heart. And so we need to be able to, or we need to get to a place where we're living in the Spirit in such a way that we allow Him to do the work that He wants us to do. Before we kind of get into the points today, I just want to remind you of the danger of weariness. None of us make good decisions when we're weary. We tend to just not see things clearly. And when we finish the lesson, assuming I finished it today, when I get to the end of the lesson, we're going to look at Psalm 73. And I'll give you a real example of a man named Asaph who was dealing with weariness, exhaustion, depression. He's dealing with all those things. That's kind of how we would define them as we look at the psalm. And if you read the beginning of the psalm, man, his perception of what was happening in his life and others' lives was all messed up. And so he's kind of giving his testimony of what he perceives as happening. And it's very inward. It's very, man, my life is not going right. Look at their life. Their life's going great, but my life is not going good. And what we find out by the time we get to the end of the psalm is he's totally flipped, and the Lord's given him this understanding that, no, you just weren't seeing things clearly because you were down and you were tired. And so I just want to remind us that there is a danger of being weary and trying to do things in our own strength and trying to just sort of trudge through the Christian life without God's power. Many fall from the faith or get away from the Lord during times of discouragement, times where the tank just feels empty. And so we need to learn to allow God to give us strength. In verse number 31 there where we read, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Again, the Lord is the one who will give them that strength, but it's those that wait. Okay, so there's a condition here. There's many of the truths of the Bible or promises of the Bible or even God's work is somewhat conditional, okay? And let me just say this. God can do, I mean, he's God. He can do anything, everything that he desires, wants to do. He can do it. Amen? We can just say God is all-powerful. He can do any, but I read this week where Jesus, and again, I'm starting a new Bible plan myself. It's the beginning of the year, and I love a calendar, so January 1 is a great time. I love just to start over, start again, and so I'm starting again. So I'm halfway through Matthew or whatever, and I read this week where Jesus was ministering in his hometown, and the Bible says he did not many works there because of their unbelief. Now, when I read that, it reminded me kind of the truth here about the Holy Spirit. It's not that Jesus couldn't do works. It's not that he couldn't do many mighty works. It's not that he couldn't do anything that he wanted to do because he is God. He didn't do those things because of their unbelief, right? And so the Spirit wants to do a work in us and can do a work in us. But the question is, will we allow it? Will we let him have his way in our lives? So this condition here is that they wait upon the Lord. And that word wait there, it means to bind together with patience. Now, I know we don't like the word wait. We know no one likes that word, but we sure don't like the word patience. Okay? Those are both words that we don't really enjoy. And I heard it this week. I forget who said this to me, but I agreed. We don't pray for patience, do we? I mean, he's like, I don't ever pray for patience. Like, oh, I think it was Brother Cooper that told me that. And we don't, because why? How do you learn patience? Through trials, right? Through trials and tribulations. That's right. And so if we're praying, Lord, make me patient. That wasn't a real prayer, Lord. I'm just preaching here, okay? No, I'm just kidding. No, if we pray, Lord, make me patient, you got to understand what Franklin Roosevelt said, a smooth sea never made a great sailor. He said something to that effect. How do you become a good sailor? Well, we got to navigate rough waters. And so when we pray for patience, we're asking, we may be asking for situations in our lives that are uncomfortable. And so we don't like the word wait. We don't like the word patience. But the Bible says here, the condition for God to give us this strength is through patiently depending upon God, binding ourselves to God in patience. And so it has to do with waiting, but it also has to do with binding ourselves to him. That again, if you look up that word wait, it'll say to bind together in patience. And so it means to bind together, that we would be dependent upon God. We're bound up in him. We're If we're going to make it today, it'll be because of him. If we're going to make it tomorrow, it'll be because of him. I don't know the answer. I don't necessarily even have the right outlook because I'm down or I'm discouraged or whatever, but God does know the answer, and I'm putting my, we don't want to put all our eggs in one basket, but you can with God, okay? I'm putting all my eggs in that basket. I'm trusting in God, and the Bible says he will renew our strength. Well, how will that happen? Well, it'll happen a bunch of different ways. He'll renew our strength a bunch of different ways. And I'll just tell you, there's a whole lot of ways God can renew your strength. Did you know God can use another brother and sister in Christ to renew your strength? He can do that. He can bring someone along that's just encouraging, that has the right words, or maybe just has the right, they put their arm around you, and for whatever reason, you're encouraged. You see that they're walking the same path you are, and so you're encouraged. He can use another believer to do that. He can use situations in our lives, answered prayers and victories and things like that to renew our strength. One of the ways by which he renews our strength is through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Understand, we have the person of God in the Spirit living, residing, dwelling in our hearts. And so he has, if we're in tune with him, he has the power to encourage us, to give us strength. So we talked about some of these points last time, but the first one there, if you want to fill in your notes, is the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. He leads and guides us. And so there's two kind of sub points to that. Without him, we are easily deceived. And this is very true. If we're trying to live our lives apart from the Holy Spirit, we will get down, we will get tired, and then we're not going to see things clearly. Again, small problems become really big problems to us. But when we're living in the Spirit, did you know God can even take a large problem and make it look small to us? But if we're living in our flesh, even small problems or even things that aren't really problems become huge to us. How many of us have ever really worried about something? I mean, really spent way too much time worrying about something that never, ever happened. Okay, all of us, right? Just be honest. We've all done that. Well, do you understand? That never was a problem to begin with. But we made it a big problem, and we stressed over it, and we gave energy to it, and then it never happened, and we never just kind of put the dots together and say, maybe I shouldn't do that. In other words, what do? We just find the next thing to make our problem and our stress. And so again, if we're living in the Spirit, he's guiding us, he's directing us. We're not as easily deceived. In fact, we're safely led if we're allowing him to lead us and guide us. So then today, I think I just got through one point last week, so let's look at this one. The second point is the Holy Spirit assures us. And this is important in times of weariness, because there are times, and some of these points we're going to look at are very closely tied together. And so here in a moment, we'll talk about him being our intercessor. Well, that has to do with his giving us assurance. But when we're tired, when we're weary, when we're struggling, we need to know and be assured of some things. And in fact, the whole world really is looking for acceptance and affirmation. And that's what everyone's looking for. They're looking to be accepted. They're looking to be affirmed, if you will. They want some sort of security, and there's a whole lot of insecurity out there. And so we need the Holy Spirit to assure us. And again, let me just tell you, if we're not living for the Lord, he has a really hard time giving us assurance, okay? Let me give you an example. So let me put the bullet points up here. The two underneath the subpoints are, he assures us of unconditional love. He assures us of complete acceptance, okay? So unconditional love, and then I'll give you an example. The idea that God loves us is unrelated to our behavior. Okay, now it might be hard to accept that. But the Bible says, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, so he loved you before you in your own mind became lovable, right? He loved you before you were lovable. He loved you in your sin. He died for you being a sinner. So there's nothing that we do to sort of earn God's love. It's just God loves us. Well, when the Spirit is in you and He's working and He's able to speak to your heart, He will assure you that you're loved. So when the whole world doesn't seem to love you, which that at times we feel that way. We feel like the whole world doesn't love us. But God always loves us, and if we're living in the Spirit, He will continuously remind us of that. No, son, you're loved. No, daughter, you're loved. Well, Lord, did you see how they treat me? Yeah, but do you know how I treat you? Right? God loves us. And then acceptance. The Spirit reminds us, assures us of where we stand with God. The Bible has verses that say this. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. If you're saved, you've been accepted. Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, which is a word that's like Papa or Daddy. Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This passage here, it's really that idea that once we're born again, we're accepted of Him. Think about a newborn baby. A newborn baby born into a loving home. And I understand not all homes are loving and secure and safe. So we'll just for a second talk about a newborn baby born into a loving home. You understand that baby has done nothing to earn the right to be loved or cared for at that point, right? I mean, newborn, in fact, let's just be honest. They've done a lot to not be loved and cared for. Now that I have a friend who's just recently had a baby just last year, just about a week ago. You know, I've been waiting to make that joke, okay? There it was. No, he just recently had a baby, and I don't know if I told him this. I wanted to tell him this. I can't remember if I did or not, but I always tell people that before their baby's born, I say, just sleep all you can. Just sleep every minute of every day. Anytime you can, just go to sleep, because you're not going to in a few days. That baby doesn't like to sleep when you like to sleep. They want to sleep during the time that you're awake. And when you go to sleep, they want to get up. That's what babies do. So if anything, and I remember like when Jax was born, we didn't want him to leave our side. So they said, oh, we can bring him to the nursery in the hospital. Right? Oh no, what horrible parents send their kids to the nursery. Let him sleep right here with us. I'm telling you, the girls, after all the stuff was over, it's like, all right, are you guys going to take them to the nursery yet? Or we need to sleep, you know? And so I'm just telling you, babies haven't earned the right, but yet mom and dad just pour into them and love them and accept them and care for them. I mean, every little need that they have, and make sure that they're as comfortable as possible. And why is that? Well, simply because they're just our children. That's all. They're our children. Well, once we're saved, we've been accepted in the Beloved. We are now, we have now a spirit, a heavenly Father, Abba. He has accepted us. And so again, if we're living, and this is where I'm going to say, if we're living in the Spirit, we have this inner realization, no matter what's going on, we have this inner realization, God loves me and I am accepted of Him. But here's you ever thought about this, the prodigal son? So remember the story of the prodigal son? He got a little bit anxious to leave home, and he started thinking about his inheritance money and all that. And he asked his father, give me my inheritance, I'm out of here. And so he did. He went on, took his money, and he went on. And the Bible says he wasted his life with riotous living. Okay, so he basically just went out there and made a mess of it, lost every dime, and ended up in the pig trough. And it seems to be he was jealous of the pigs. That's how far down the line his life had gotten. Now, what's interesting, the point I'm going to bring out is a lot of things we could bring out about that story, but here's the point. He had lost his assurance with his father. In other words, think about the conversation that he had when he was about to head back to his father. He rehearsed and we have it written down for us in the scriptures, he rehearsed his speech, what he was going to say when he came back. And so he's like, okay, I'll go to dad. I know he's going to be mad. I know he's going to be upset. I don't even know if he'll take me back. So here's what I'll say. I'll tell him that I'll just be a servant. You know, that's what he said, right? My father has all these servants, and they're better off than I am right now. So I'll just go back and I'll just be a servant. Did you know he didn't go back thinking he'd be a son? So the point I'm trying to make here is there was an assurance problem. He had gotten away from the father, and so all of a sudden in his heart he didn't feel like a son anymore. He didn't feel like he was deserving. He didn't feel like he was, it wasn't deserving, but he didn't feel like he was accepted. Didn't feel like he was loved. But the truth was, the father was waiting anxiously for the return. The father, when he saw his son coming, ran to meet him. And the kid didn't even get half his speech out. And the father is saying, let's throw a party. My son is back. And he was always loved, and he was always accepted of the father. The issue was he didn't feel it. Why didn't he feel it? Well, when we get away from the Lord, if I go out tomorrow and I start living my life out of the Spirit and living for, you know, just whatever, setting aside what I know to do is right, and I just start living like the devil, whatever it is, I'm not going to feel saved. I'm not going to feel necessarily loved. I'm going to forget those things, because what I've done is I've shut off the Spirit's voice in my heart. He's still there, right? I don't lose my salvation. But I'm telling you, there's something about, and so what I'm trying to say is it's conditional, this assurance, this acceptance. It's not, the acceptance and assurance is not conditional. But I don't want to make the wrong statement. His love for us is not conditional. Once we're saved, his acceptance of us is not conditional. We're already saved. The blood of Christ has covered us of all, you know, cleansed of us all of all sin. But how we feel about it? Definitely. We can stop listening to the Spirit, and before long, we're weary, we're tired, we don't feel loved, we don't feel accepted. I'm just telling you, in those moments, we need to get back to God, because there will be reassurance there. Okay, so the Holy Spirit assures. The Holy Spirit then comforts. And I've got to move here because I think there's several more points here, but the Holy Spirit comforts us. So the example that I'm going to give today is brought off of where Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter. And he does that in the book of John, like 14 through 16, those verses or those chapters there. And he's comforting them because he's about to go away. And so just imagine, and sometimes I think we all as Christians like to imagine what it must have been like to be Peter, James, or John, that got to walk with Jesus daily, got to see him do the miracles, got to see him, make a few fish and some bread into baskets and baskets of bread that are handed out to thousands of people, and got to see him, you know, raise the dead and heal the sick and make the lame walk and heal the blind, and just got to hear him preach and teach and have conversations with him. And I mean, for those couple of years or 3 years there, the disciples, they must have thought, man, this is as good as life can possibly get. I'm here with the Lord. And then he starts to have these type of conversations. Well, boys, I got to go away. The cross is just they don't see it, but it's just in his view. It's just over the next horizon. The cross is coming. And the Lord knows he's going to die. He's going to be resurrected. And then he's going to go up to heaven, and he's going to leave these guys alone. And so he starts to tell them, it's needful for you that I go away. I got to go. Can you just for a second understand the fear that must have just kind of came over the disciples? Like, what do you mean you're going to go, Jesus? In fact, Peter argued with him at times about this. And so Jesus said this in John 14, 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. a comforter, the Holy Spirit, that you may abide, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. John 16, verse 6, Jesus says, but because I have said these things unto you, again, those things about him leaving, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so the Lord says, in this time where you're going to need comfort, I'm going to supply comfort through the Holy Spirit. So how do we have comfort in this life? Well, it's the very same way, through the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to re-preach the point every point, but you understand, the prodigal son, was he comforted in the pig pen? No. Okay, so where are we going to receive this sort of comfort? It's when we're not in the pig pen. It's when we're with the Father. When we're in 1 John on Sunday afternoons, and one of the truths that just resonates throughout the whole book of 1 John is our fellowship with the Father. It's so pivotal. It's so important. Everything in our life is hinged upon how close we are to the Lord. The closer we get to the Lord, the more of him we have, the more blessings we have, the more comfort we have, etc. And so, again, you say, well, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, and I don't seem to have this comfort. Get closer. Okay, get closer. Okay, so what does it look like? Well, a couple things. Release from fear. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7 tell us where we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Rescued from sorrow. So let's deal with fear first. Jesus over and over and over and over tells us not to be fearful. John 14, 27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Philippians 4, 7, Paul instructs us, in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So if we're living in the Spirit, he's our comforter. We don't have the Spirit. He's not the spirit of fear. Do you know when you experience fear in your life, that's not coming from God. That's not coming from the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a fear of the Lord. That's a reverence and respect for Almighty God. That's different. But just, I'm scared to take a step. I'm scared to do what God wants me to do. That doesn't come from him. He gives us not the spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. He's our comforter, okay? Rescued from sorrow. Well, just remember, we don't sorrow the same way that the world sorrows. We sorrow, but we don't sorrow without hope, right? We don't sorrow without the assistance of the Holy Spirit. If you've ever been through a difficult time, and I'm sure everyone has, you might could resonate with Job. Remember Job? Job, who I hesitate to ever compare myself to, because I just don't feel like I've ever gone through anything close to what he did. And if anyone had ever experienced suffering outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe the Apostle Paul or something like that, man, Job, he went through some trials. My goodness. And I don't, you know the story. And people came alongside him, and I don't know what their intention was. Maybe at first it was to comfort. Before long, it was to accuse, if you just read the book. But he tells them in Job 16, verse 2, I've heard many things. Miserable comforters are you all. That's what he tells his friends. You are miserable comforters. You guys couldn't supply comfort if you tried, right? And sometimes that's how we feel, like we go through difficult things in life. And I've learned that when someone has gone through something really difficult, sometimes the best thing to say is nothing. Just because you don't have, what am I going to say? I know how you feel. I wouldn't try that. You know, I don't always know how they feel, right? Even if I've gone through something similar, you know where true comfort has to come from? I'm not saying it can't be from your brothers and sisters in Christ. We can definitely encourage one another, but God will use us to do that through his Holy Spirit. He's the comforter. So we don't sorrow as the world sorrows, but we sorrow, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, even as others which have no hope, we sorrow with hope. We don't have to sorrow the worldly way. We don't have to rely on men who most of the time are miserable comforters. We don't have to rely, by the way, the world is in a state of sorrow all the time. Why else would they be continuously administering the painkillers of alcohol and drugs and, you know, infidelity? Why is that stuff such a draw? Can I tell you, it's an escape from the sorrow of their life. It's an escape from the difficulty of living in a sin-riddled world. Not just those things. It's easy for us to kick off, you know, drugs and alcohol and that kind of stuff. But there's people who are, maybe they've had some victory over that, but they're still searching for something that they could say, you know, here's where I'm going to find meaning. Here's where I'm going to find meaning. And so maybe it's someone who's just addicted to constant achievement. You know, there's a lot of people in our world that are just addicted to achievement. I'm going to achieve and I'm going to achieve. And you know, it's never enough. It's never, no matter what level of achievement they've gotten, it never fills that void. It never takes away the sorrow. That constant affirmation, right? I'm gonna put this post on Facebook, and man, if 100 people like it, I'll feel very affirmed. Why do we care? Why do we care how many people like our post, right? Why? Because I don't know. It's like, oh, this affirms me. This helps me. This is an achievement in my life. And so we got to be careful substituting all this worldly stuff for the hope that God gives us through His Holy Spirit. All right. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So again, we are to give our cares to the Lord. By the way, nothing wrong with putting a post on Facebook. I don't mean to I'm not preaching against that, but I'm telling you, there are people whose lives, their lives are very closely related to how that social media feed is going. And that's just not a good way to live. It's just not. All right, let me move on. The Holy Spirit intercedes. Praise the Lord. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't even know how to pray? We've all been there. You get down and maybe you're just struggling with the situation that you're in, you don't know what the right prayer is. Maybe you're upset. Have you ever been in a point where you're mad, but you know you need to pray? And you go before the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm angry, and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know, you know, if you're angry and you pray and you're not honest with God, do you think He knows that anyway? I think He does. So it's probably better just go ahead and confess it. Lord, I'm upset by this. I don't know how to react or respond to this. I don't know how to deal with this. There's times we come before the Lord and we don't even know how to pray. Aren't you thankful that we have an interceder, a mediator? Romans 8 and verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So these verses explain to us that the Spirit of God, who's residing in our hearts, knows our hearts. He knows where we're messed up. He knows where we're not thinking right. And he knows God's heart, because he's God the Spirit. And he takes our pile, our mess, in our messed up prayer, and in our confusion, and our unknowing, and he intercedes for us on behalf of the Father, and on behalf of us to the Father. It's a wonderful truth. It's a miraculous thing that honestly is kind of hard to imagine, the Holy Spirit in our heart crying and groaning to God the Father. But he intercedes for us. When we don't even know how to pray, he helps us. That's great. If you say, I don't know how to pray, just pray. Just bow your knee and begin to pray. You have an intercessor. Intercessor. Intercessor might be better. Number five, the Holy Spirit gives patience and hope. Patience and hope, a couple of virtues that the world doesn't seem to have. And so won't spend a lot of time on these, but because we've talked about both of these already, but the believer lives with hope. And it's not, remember this, it's not hope like, I hope it works out. Fingers crossed. I hope that, whatever. The lottery style hope, where it pretty much never works out, but we're hoping. No, hope in the scriptures is like, I know what God does. I know he works all things out for good. I know he loves me and cares for me and knows what's best for me. I'm just patiently expecting and waiting for that to happen. Hope. It's knowing that there's something better coming. You could reference Romans 5 verses 2 through 5 about that hope. Enduring with patience then. Again, we don't. It's difficult. We don't want to pray necessarily for patience. There's something in us that's hesitant to do that. But it's God who gives us patience. Patience is, one person defined it this way, a divinely imparted ability to endure the trial. You ever seen someone in a trial and you just thought, I don't even know how they're doing that. I don't know how they're making it. Right? I don't know how they weather that with such grace. Well, godly patience. God giving them the divine ability to endure a trial. That comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then renews our strength. And this is our last point. Do we have any people who like to run or used to like to run in here? Okay, there's a few. All right, good. I hear runners talk about, and I've got some information here about how you can get a second wind when you're running, get a second wind. I personally have never run enough to get to the second wind. I'm always out of my first wind, and then I never find a second wind. But I know some people who run a lot, and I remember this one. She's a friend of my wife's, and she runs a lot. And I remember her talking about the second wind, you know, that you'll be running, and after you've done 3, 4, 5 miles, all of a sudden, you feel like you're out of energy, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes some energy. And doctors tell you it's both physiological and psychological. There's something going on in the mind and in the body with this, but all of a sudden, it just feels like you can run forever. And I immediately said, I've never been there, okay? I'm always like, my side's hurting. Why do people do this? I don't understand the draw. I have no regular wind. I certainly don't have a second wind. That's running. But listen, in the Christian life, there's definitely this thing about a second wind. When you think that you're done, when you think you don't have any more string, God just gives you the energy to keep going. And before long, it's like, okay, we're doing this. We're okay. We're moving on. And that is the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's all related in our closeness to Him, right? How much we're allowing Him to do. Turn your Bible to Psalm 73, and we'll just close with this psalm here. Psalm 73. And while you're turning there, I'll read you a couple verses about this sort of supernatural empowerment of the Spirit. And like I said, I don't know that it's explainable. It's a second wind. It's what the Lord does to those who are living in Him and allowing Him to work and allowing Him to lead and allowing Him to grant strength. It just comes, and you're able to do what you didn't think you could do. Again, the title of the book is Living Beyond Our Capacity. So God is going to push us beyond what we think we're able to do in His power. Ephesians 3:16. So you're in Psalm 73, but let me read to you a couple of verses here. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. All right, so that's completely a work of the Lord. It's according to the riches of His glory. It's strengthened by might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's not something we can buy at Walmart, right? That's not something we can get in this world. That's stuff that's coming from Him. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How? Well, again, living in the Spirit, He brings us that energy, that renewal. All right, Psalm 73, the Psalm of Asaph. And if you read the whole Psalm, which you can do later, I'd encourage you to do it. If you read the first half of the Psalm, like down to verse number 16 or so, what you'll find is Asaph was in a very bad place. Okay, he was depressed, he was down, he was weary. And he was, like I said earlier, he wasn't seeing things clearly. Let's just look at verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. You see what he's saying there? He's starting out with trying to be as spiritual as possible. Oh yeah, God's good. God's good to Israel. But for me, not so much. You see where he is? He's down. Now, is that true? Is it true that God's good to Israel, but not for Asaph? That's not true, right? That's his perception of what's going on. Verse 3, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He goes on to say, there's so much in here. Verse 7, he's talking about the wicked. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Now just pause for a second. Does a lost person have more than heart can wish? No. I don't care how much money they have or perceived blessing they have. They don't have the Lord. They don't have the one thing that is actually what they need. Okay, so just understand this. Asaph, he's down, he's depressed, and it's making him to see things wrong. And it's really tough when we're in that spot because we don't always know we're seeing things wrong. Right? Perception is reality. That's what they say. That's not true, but it's what they say. Perception is reality. What we perceive, that's what we believe to be true. That's incorrect, right? We don't always perceive things right, especially when we're tired, especially when we're down. All right, so he goes on. Let's just look at the turning point here. Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I there the wicked end. Okay, so good thing to do to just get back to God. That's what he's done. Verse 17, until I went to the sanctuary of God, now there's some understanding coming upon him. Verse 17, he realizes something about the wicked. He considers their end. Verse 18 and 19. Again, he's just talking about, really, they don't have it as good as what I was saying. In fact, they're without the Lord, and so their end is destruction. Okay. Let's go down to verse 23. So what happens in this psalm is he goes from a place of being down and depressed, getting back to the Lord, having a bad perception and understanding what's going on, getting back to the Lord, and then at the end, he starts declaring the truth of what actually is happening. Verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. You know what he realizes? No, God, you've been here through the whole thing. You really have. Whether I thought it or not, you've been here. Verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See that? Our flesh and our heart will fail. I mean, there'll be times when we get tired, when we get down, when we get weary. But who is our strength? God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, They that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. If you compare the wording of Psalm 73:28, drawing near to God, putting trust in the Lord, it's very similar. It's not the same words. It's very similar in meaning to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 40 when he said, they that wait upon the Lord, binding themselves to the Lord, he'll renew their strength. And so we see the same sort of conditional situation. If we draw near to the Lord, we bind ourselves to the Lord, we wait on Him, we put our trust in Him, we put our dependence on Him, He will give us strength. Okay? So if you're weary, if you're struggling, if you're tired, if you're thinking, I don't know how to get through tomorrow or today, much less tomorrow, draw near to the Lord. Let Him give you strength, because He's always been there holding your hand. He's always been there. Lord, we are thankful for Your comforting work in our life and Your strengthening work through the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would, Lord, not ignore the Spirit's work in our life. I pray we would not, I pray we would be open, Lord, to the Holy Spirit, that we would allow Him to strengthen us, that we wouldn't grieve Him, Lord, that we wouldn't ignore Him, but that we would allow Him to do His work. I pray that through Your Spirit we would receive strength and that we would accomplish what it is that You want us to accomplish. Lord, we thank You for this time in Sunday school. We pray Your blessing upon the rest of the day. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.